You know, I remember, like most of us do, when we first came into the church, and we start learning, and we start tasting the milk of the truth of God. You know, we're young, and that's how we are able to digest our life and walk our steps to be able to reach the day when we're going to wear that crown. So that milk that we all learn at one time and we're still taking once in a while with all the meat that is here in this, the Word of God, is the milk, the truth that we started to walk, made us walk in this path. And in that path, we all have taken many turns while being here in the church after the death of Mr. Armstrong, and saw each other in other groups, and then come once again to eat meat, but to drink that milk also. Let us go to 21. John 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." Feed. That's what we needed ever since we came into the church, to be fed. And he says to him once again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He says, "Feed my sheep." And he said a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" He says, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And as we came into the church, and we were fed by many pastors, Mr. Armstrong, the apostle, feeding us that truth, that revealed truth, where God taught us very clearly that He was giving us a message through His man, just like Moses spoke to Israel. And here we were receiving that milk. And the meat, we used to receive meat, but still we needed that milk to be able to know, to digest correctly. Just like a baby starts being fed by the mother, so that he can begin to get strong and take the first steps. And we began to take our first steps with that wonderful milk. Let us go one second to 1 Peter 2:2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The sincere milk. That's what God is all about. Sincerity and truth. We just went through the Passover. And the Passover, it can be taken by a lot of people. It can be taken, but how sincere and how truthful are we when we take of that Passover? You know, so we take so many lessons with that milk. We're learning the Word of God. There's many commandments that He gives us for us to keep. And everything that God tells us, you know, do this, don't do that, they're commandments. And from the 10, everything else comes for all of us to be able to digest that milk at first and to continue on eating meat, but drinking that milk. So I want to show you today, talking about milk, I will show you these 2 points, which, like commandments, that will teach us and help us to recognize our shepherd's voice, the voice of our Lord and Savior. We have to, very specifically, ever since His death, going through one group, through the other. It doesn't matter what group we were in. Always God's people. We learn to love so many brethren in so many groups. And then all of a sudden, we had to depart and leave brethren that we love so much. And it was always hurtful to me, to all of you. But even with those hurts, you know, it is joyful to be able to still be hanging on, drinking milk, eating meat, but drinking milk and be able to once again see the faces of new brethren that we get to meet, and to see all faces of all brethren that we have met for such a long time. You know, and as we, you know, I'm a very emotional person, and we, like many of you, I cry many tears all by myself, you know, praying to God and looking back and thinking of many brethren that we love, that we left behind, and that when are we going to see them again? And it's just like when you raise your family, your children begin to depart and to go away. Sure, everybody has to live their life, but still, you know, that emptiness of someone that you lost. And it's the same with us, you know, and we have to give thanks to God that even though this trip through so many groups and so many hurts and so many departures, we still always find God, find those who are seeking to hold fast. We come back and get together once again. Let's go for this first point to John 15. John 15. Verse 12. This is the first point right here. This is my commandment. This is what our Savior and King Jesus Christ said. That you love one another as I have loved you. Well, you know, as you begin to fellowship with one another, once again, only because of this truth, you get to know new people, get to know them, and get to start to apply what Christ says. Love one another. We have to love one another. We need to love one another. We need to really, in sincerity and truth, be able to share with one another what family is all about. And family is about loving. It's about putting up with one another. And a lot of you are going to have to put up with me. Honestly, I'm the first one. I'm not the easiest person. You know, I am easy to get along because I like to tell a lot of jokes. But if you don't celebrate my jokes, I get kind of down. So, but, you know, honestly, in my heart, I suffer when problems raise among brethren because, you know, I'm easy to right away to fall in love with God's people. I love right away, and I want to stick together. We need to fight together. And this is the good news about this commandment right here. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. There is proof that He has loved us. I mean, He's our Maker. He came down, told His Father, I'll go, I'll suffer, I'll die. How much suffering He took for all of us. He wanted, like my wife was telling me, you know, I mean, He had the feeling it would have been nice for Him to get married, to have a family, to have children, but He's waiting for the moment of the wedding with all of us. That was an inspiration by my wife. She was not preaching, but she was indicating this to me, and it was so, so inspiring. Now let me go to this other second point. Let us go to 1 Peter 5. Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. For the second point. The elder which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed, once again, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. We've been fed. Mr. Armstrong fed us. Right now, at this moment, we are here in this group, and with all the group that I've been going through and loving so many brethren, you know, we found now a group where we're really fighting to get back on track. We need to get on that track on what the apostle told us, and it was coming from God, because God wants the best for all of us. He wants the best. He wants us to really, we have to go through trials. But you know, honestly, you know, when we look at our lives, and I look at mine, and living in this nation, you know, that He promised to the seed of Abraham, I mean, this nation has so many blessings. We have enjoyed so many blessings in the trials. I mean, look at this, everything we have. Still, right now, there's complaint. This is expensive. This is like this. And you still go to places. My wife goes shopping to some places. And God provides where she finds good prices, healthy things. And we have to continuously be thankful with sincerity and truth and be giving thanks to God for the wonderful life that we are living. You know, we have to appreciate. And he said, feed the flock of God, telling all the elders, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. And this is one problem that we all have in groups. I was in groups where the abuse that you take with some of these leaders of groups, it's sad. It is sad. You know, other people have taken the abuse. But you know, even though in that abuse, you're able to see and to recognize who is an elder and a minister of God. You're able to see it. Because how they treat you, you know that God did not mean to say, you know, children are oppressors, and use the word oppressor of men and of women, and then come and put oppressors inside of the Church of God for all the people of God to be abused in this way. Mr. Armstrong was not like that. If Mr. Armstrong will see all these groups with these leaders doing in his name what they're doing, I think he'll have a heart attack, because he was not a man like that. And a lot of you know exactly, you know, how Mr. Armstrong was. You can see it. With these two points, you know, we're able to recognize the voice of our shepherd. And this is what the good news. Everyone here that I see is a person who is listening to the voice of our Savior, of the main shepherd, our Lord and Savior. That's what everybody here is for. And that's the good news. And that's really the encouragement that we have. We're here together only because God has brought us, because He looked at everybody's heart over here, and everybody has the desire in the conduct that you see to be able to follow God and to be obedient to God. Let us go now to John 10. Let's go to verse 2. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out. That is the reason why every one of you is here, following the voice of the shepherd, of Jesus Christ. Everybody here have the wonderful desire to follow the truth with that sincerity and truth that is all about, and that we find in the days of unleavened bread. Go to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And following him, following this truth that God gave us through the apostle Mr. Armstrong, and that we still continuously trying hard to follow, is the only way that we'll be able to wear our crown.